Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for yet another time to gather and hear your word. Be thou glorified in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this platform you have provided for us to share your word and look into your word and be blessed. Be thou glorified, Father, in the name of Jesus. We commit ourselves into your hands. We ask that even today you will bless us tremendously. You will change us. Give us a glimpse of your glory today. And as we look into your glory, we ask that our eyes be opened, our hearts be opened, our lives be changed, we become more like you. To the praise and the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You're welcome to today's teaching. Last week, we began to look at death before growth. And we discussed how it is important that death takes place in a believer before he can really come into growth. We said salvation is free. No, salvation is free, but you must present a ticket if you are going to enter into discipleship. And of course, the same way you get that ticket, the same way you get your salvation. So it's not like it's not free, but you must present a ticket if you are ever going to grow God's way. And a lot of Christians today who are not growing, who think that they are growing, but they are not growing. They are growing secular, they are growing in your mind, they are growing financially, they are growing morally, but they are not growing spiritually. Praise the Lord. So the pathway to grow spiritually is to, first of all, you have to die. That's what the Bible says. We read John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit." It bringeth forth much fruit. Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and die, it abides alone. When it dies, it produces much fruit. So there will never be growth. There will never be much fruit. There will never be greatness God's way or in God's sight without first dying. We also read Matthew chapter 13. We read Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. Matthew 13, 31 and 32. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed which a man took and he sowed. So we said there will be no growth, there will be no greatness in God if you don't first die. We also said last week that one of the reasons why many Christians do not grow is not because they don't long to grow, but it's because they have not died. They keep on learning, keep on studying. And I said, I have seen a lot of Christians like that who they know so much, they read so much, listen so much, attend conferences here and there. They have the terminologies, the spiritual terminologies. But when it comes to Christianity and the spiritual work, their life is completely empty. And I said one of the reasons why it is like that is because there is no growth. You must grow completely. Praise the Lord. You must completely lose sight of self. Jesus said, here is the greatest commandment. What is it? Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. All. Immediately you give all that, all your love to God, you have no other love for anything else. You have there is no love for anything else or anyone else when you give all your love to God. When you give all your heart to God, you can't love anything else. You can't love anyone else. You can't love anything else. You'll be able to say, like the saints of old, that if you give me, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Jesus will become your sufficiency. Splicing will be all that you desire. Praise the Lord. May God give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Last week, I mentioned about 8 things that it means when self is still operating in your life. And I will not repeat them again because of time. If you missed the teaching, you can download it on our Telegram page. It's just 16 megabytes. You'll be able to access the teaching. I have listened to it myself again and I was blessed, sincerely. It's a message we need to listen to again and again so we can order our steps and recourse our lives and make sure we are heaven-minded. When I mean heaven-minded, I don't mean we want to make heaven, but I mean that we are kingdom-minded. We are thinking the way God thinks. We are seeing the way God sees. Praise the Lord. So today we'll be talking about how to die to self. How are we going to die to self? We have said without death there will be no growth. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he must first deny himself, he must take up his cross, and he must follow. He's talking about death. You will never be able to follow if you don't go through that first. Jesus told one man, hey, you follow me. The man said, no, please. Permit me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. He said, but you, go and preach the gospel. And that one said, Lord, I want to follow you. He said, listen, if you want to follow me, you need to know the times and condition. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We don't have any mattress here where we sleep. We don't have a house. And eventually, he concluded with this statement. He said, Jesus said, anyone who lays hand on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. And what is he trying to say? You are not fit for kingdom work if you are still worldly minded, if you are still earthly minded. If the things that determine the course of your life is, I want to bury my father, if those are the things that still order your life and you can jettison the call of God because of something you want to do or something that is important, you know. Of course, burying your father is important. I'm sure you know that. It's one of the most important things in the life anyone could do. You know, giving honor to your father. But here, there is a higher God calling. And when he calls, nothing is more important. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Another one said that when he heard that the Son of Man has no place to lay, he said, he's like, come on. We need to rethink this thing. I'm not sure I want to go ahead. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, if you claim you want to follow me, and you lay your hands on the plow and you're looking back, you are like a lost wife, still thinking about the things of the world, then you are not fit. We don't want the kind of you in this world. We are not saying you will make heaven. But when it comes to becoming sons, becoming disciples, I'm sorry, you have lost your admission into that school. I pray that we continually be students in the school of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. So how do we die to self? Praise the Lord. Number one, begin from the cross where Jesus was crucified. Begin from the cross where self was crucified. Praise the Lord. One of the mistakes that believers of old and even today still make is to make attempt to crucify the self. There is no instruction in the Bible that says you are the one who will crucify yourself. We are taught to crucify the self, but nobody can crucify themselves. I hope you know that. Nobody can nail himself to a tree. I don't know, except you have 4 extra hands. Probably, you may be able to crucify yourself. Because the 2 hands you need to crucify yourself, you need 1 hand to be holding the nail. You need another hand to be holding the hammer before you can nail yourself to a tree. So as long as you have just 2 hands, you will never be able to crucify yourself. So crucifixion is not something that you do to yourself. It is something you release yourself to experience. Praise the Lord. So that's the first thing you need to know. You are not to crucify yourself. So every attempt you make to crucify yourself will end in futility. It's not going to work. No matter how hard you try to take 1 hand, put it on the tree, then take a nail, put it on the hand, then what hand will you hold the hammer? You see, it's not going to work. And if you successfully, by mistake, if you successfully nail one of your hands to the tree, what about the second hand? Do we nail it? Praise the Lord. So if you accidentally nail 1 hand to the tree, how are you going to nail the second hand? So you see, every effort you make to crucify the self will end in an effort in futility. You may be able to constrain yourself by rules and regulations. You will be able to successfully stop yourself from committing sin. Nonsense, so to speak. You may be able to give yourself rules and regulations that will stop yourself from fornicating. You may be able to tell yourself, I will not shake a sister anymore as long as I live. You may be able to tell yourself, I will not go there anymore. You can make all kinds of regulations and decisions and determinations as much as you want. But you see, there will be no change. Self will still be alive. You may be able to tie a pig. You may tie a pig. Tie that pig. You know, lock that pig inside the room so that the pig will not enter into mud. But that is as much as you are going to get. The pig will not enter into the mud. But you see, the desire to enter into the mud will not die. So you may be able to constrain yourself from committing sin. But if you don't begin from the cross, you will not commit that sin, but the desire to sin will still remain in you. And that is what needs to be crucified. Crucification is of the heart. It is not about the action. God wants to completely crucify that desire in you. That's what God wants to kill. Praise the Lord. So you see, you will never be able to crucify yourself. Rules and regulations will not be able to crucify you. If you take last week's message and you say, okay, number, this week, I work on number one. I will make sure I will not do anything selfish. I will continue to be doing good. No matter how much you struggle and struggle and struggle, the best you can get is to achieve what we call a legalistic result. That is a result that is born by the will of man. And nothing that is born of the will of man is useful in the sight of God. Nothing that is born by the will of man is worthy in the sight of God. It is not received by God. And worst of all, anything that is born of man will only produce pride. If you by mistake, I've mentioned this before in one of the teachings. If you by mistake become able to stop yourself from sinning by the strength of the flesh, one thing you are going to get with that success, with that achievement, is pride. Because when you get that achievement, you will look down on others. When you see other believers that are struggling with fornication, you'll be like, this one is still a baby. This one have not grown. You look down on them. Because your own growth was born by you. So you see, you are only going from what you call from fry pan to fire. Jesus said, you have been pulled out of fire, but you have made yourself twice the son of hell. When you walk the path of legalism, praise the Lord. So the first thing you need to know is that you must begin from the cross where Jesus was crucified. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ that live in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The first thing you need to know as a child of God about crucifying the self is that self has already been crucified. Praise the Lord. The first thing you need to know about crucifying the self is to understand that self has been crucified. If you don't start from this foundation, there is nothing you lay on it that will last. Anything you lay on the foundation of self is going to crumble. You must begin from the cross, where Jesus said, it is finished, it is done. Paul said, I have been crucified. I am not trying to crucify myself, because that is an effort in futility. On that day, when Jesus was crucified on the tree, he didn't crucify himself either. On that day, when he was getting nailed, I was also nailed with him. I was also crucified with him. I was also killed with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Let's take some scriptures so that our wisdom will not stand in what that brother said, but in what the Bible says. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. This is what the Bible says. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Can you see? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Can you see God's pathway of destroying self? What did he do? He crucified what we call the old man. That's Mr. Flesh. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified in the past. Not will be crucified. Not shall be crucified. He says, our old man has been crucified with him. So if you believe that Jesus was crucified for you, you must also believe that you were crucified with him. That is the foundation you must lay. Without this foundation, I tell you, all your struggle to crucify yourself will end in pride and effort in futility. You will continue a cycle of sin that will put you under bondage. Praise the Lord. So let's take another scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. The scripture I love so much. Galatians 5, verse 24, the Bible says, "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh." Let me ask you, are you of Christ? Do you belong to Christ? If you are a child of God and you are born again, the Bible says that you have crucified the flesh with the affection and lusts. My God. If you are a child of God, the Bible says it has been done. You have, it's already completed. Your flesh has been crucified. Not only your flesh, it says its lusts, its affections, its desires, all have been crucified. That desire to steal has been crucified. That desire to commit fornication has been crucified. That desire to love the world has been crucified. That desire for the things of the world has been crucified. Crucified with the old man. That old man that has learned the ways of the world, that have learned and mastered the ways of the Gentiles, has been crucified. His desires, his patterns, his styles has been crucified. Now listen to me. When God says something, believe it. It does not matter what your experience is. The one mistake that Eve and Adam made was that they failed to understand that when God speaks, God is truth. I tell you, when God speaks, God is does not merely speak truth. God is truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth." When God speaks, God is the definition of truth. And it does not matter what fact is saying. It does not matter what fact is representing. When truth speaks, fact bows. Kai, are you following? God told Adam and Eve, when you eat the fruit, you will die. But you know the mistake they made? They were trusting facts for answers. So when Satan says, "You will not die," they believed. They did not understand that when God speaks, God is truth. So when the Bible says, "You have crucified the flesh and its desires and its affections and its patterns," and you look at yourself and say, "No, ha. Me that I'm still thinking of stealing. Me that I'm still thinking of fornicating. Me that I'm still thinking of watching pornography." No. The Bible says, "Let God be truth and every man be a liar." It says, "By two immutable things that it is impossible for God to lie." So when God says something about you, as a child of God, you must lay the foundation of believing it. I don't want to talk so much about faith, because next week, by God's grace, we begin to talk about how to grow. We begin to talk about that. And you will see how faith is completely instrumental in the path of growth. Praise the Lord. So you see, you must begin from the cross. You must begin by believing what the Bible says about you. The Bible says your old man has been crucified. Colossians chapter 3. Let me take one more scripture before we move on. Colossians 3 verse 3. See, I'm giving you the third scripture. The Bible says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Let me read from verse 1 so that you see. No, we need to understand this foundation. One of the problems Christians make is that they put the cart before the horse. There is an instructional part of the Bible. The Bible is full of instructions upon instructions. But you see, if you do not understand the foundation for those instructions, you will miss it. Now, let's read from verse 1 so that you understand. It says, Colossians 3 from verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ," listen, "seek those things which are above." Can you see? It's not saying if you want to be risen with Christ, seek ye those things that are above. That's what legalism is preaching today. That is what the so-called holiness movement are preaching. They will tell you, if you want to make heaven, then seek those things that are heaven. No. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, because you are risen with Christ, because you have already ascended with Christ, then seek those things which are above. The foundation is what has been done. What has been done is what we produce, what will be. You see, verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth." So you see, if you have been risen, if you have ascended to the throne of God, if you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, if you are already a citizen of heaven, then set your affection on the things of heaven. You see? Now verse 3. Verse 3 now says, why? Why? Why should you set your affection on things above? Apart from the fact that you are already sitting in heaven. He says, the reason is because you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see? The reason why you set your affection on things above is because you are dead. That is the foundation. And I must emphasize this foundation very well, because if you miss the foundation, you are going to move into legalism. You are going to move into pride. If you don't lay that foundation properly to believe, if you don't lay the foundation of faith to believe that when Jesus died on the cross, I died with him. My flesh died with him. The pattern of the world died with him. If you don't lay that foundation, you will never be able to experience the death of your old man. Praise the Lord. Number two. So let's take number two. I've laid the foundation. Let's take number two. How to die to self. Number two. You must have a vivid revelation and assertion of the depravity of the ways of man and the possession of man. You must have a vivid revelation and assertion of the depravity of the ways of man and the possession of men. You know, now that you have laid the foundation, you must now begin to walk the walk. As you study the word of God, your eyes must begin to see. Faith must begin to produce results in your life. And one of the things that faith will produce is a vivid revelation of how depraved, how useless, all that man has is vanity. Praise the Lord.
God must show you that everything that man is seeking is rubbish. God must show you that everything that man is seeking is vain. The whole world, the Bible says, is passing away in 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away. The world we are living is already destined to doom. All the riches of earth, all our internet, all our books, all our building, they are already destined for destruction. How do you know that? A day will come when fire will come down from heaven and destroy everything. If you like, write your name on the sands of time. The Bible says a time will come when time will be no more. Read your revelation. If you like, write your name in the archives of time. Write your name on the history of time. Write your name. Leave a mark on this world. No matter how much you do, a time will come when fire will burn everything. Fire will burn everything. You must understand that everything that man has and man seek, they are destined for doom. A judgment day has been set for the earth. A judgment day has been set for the wealth and riches of earth. God must open your eyes. These are things that the Bible, God's word, must show you. In Matthew 21, they came to Jesus. His disciples, they were showing him the beautiful architectural display, the masterwork of the mastery of architecture and artistry that was done on the temple. They were trying to show Jesus how beautiful the temple was. But you see, because this is a man that has a revelation of the depravity of the things of earth, what did he tell them? He said, a time will come when there will be no stone laid upon the other of this temple you are praising. You must have that kind of sight. You must understand that a time will come that this thing I am seeking for and I'm dying for, this money I am seeking for and looking for, one day it will be useless. This house I want to build, this structure I want to build, this car I want to have, a father in law, he says, this pangolo, this refurbished pangolo that I want to buy, God must show you that it is useless. Don't walk the path of Solomon and get it before you find out it is useless. And I always tell people, I say, we just need to have sense. None of us came with anything when we are coming to the world. We came naked. We came with nothing. Everything I have today, the clothes I have, the car I have, the gadgets I have, everything I have, I met them on earth. Abi? They were on earth before I was born. I met them here. Everything I have, I met them here. It was with somebody first before it came to me. It was in the possession of somebody before it got to me. And you know what? No matter how much I get, one day I am going to leave them all. I will also pass the ownership to someone else. I tell people, I say, there is nothing we are leaving this world with. We came with nothing. We are only stewards of God's resources. No one truly has anything. May the Lord open your eyes in the name of Jesus. We are mere stewards of God's resources. No one has a thing. That phone in your hands is not your phone. You don't hold it. It belongs to God. It is with you for a time. No matter how long you hold on to it, one day, if you don't leave it, it will leave you. You must understand how depraved the possession of man is. God must open your eyes. That was what Paul saw when he said, everything I possess, my heritage, my background, my schooling, my knowledge, my certificate. What did he say? He said, I packed everything and count it but dung. Number three now. How to die to self. A total renouncing of your loyalty and commitment to self. A total renouncing of your loyalty and commitment to self. One of the ways to release the power of God to crucify yourself in practice is to renounce your loyalty to self. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 and 39. Paul was speaking. Paul said, nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. Neither houses, neither husbands, neither wife, neither thrones, neither angels. Nothing will separate me from the love of Christ. That is a renouncing of his commitment and loyalty to self. He completely renounced it. You must be able to say, I love nothing in this world, and you must mean it. You must renounce it. You must confess it. You must confess it again and again until your heart knows it. That there is nothing of the world that is more important to you than Jesus. Romans 8. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. The Lord calls you to renounce your loyalty to self in the name of Jesus. In another place, he said, whether we live or we die, our ambition is only to please God. Everything I am seeking is to please God. May the Lord help you to enter into this place in the name of Jesus. Number 4, because of our time. How to die to self. A total surrender of your hopes, decisions, plans, and desires to God. Another way to completely annihilate the ways of the old man in your life, because you see, though the old man is dead, the old man left some practices in your life that needs to die. He left some cultures in your life that needs to die also. So you must align yourself every day. And one of the ways you must do that is that you must have a total surrender of your hopes, decisions, your plans, and desires to God. Jesus said in John 4:34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Your entire goal in life must be surrendered to God. There's nothing wrong with having ambitions. Nothing wrong in having big plans, but you must submit them all to God. You say, Lord, I desire to have a car. But Lord, if you don't want it for me, then I don't need it. That's surrender. Lord, I wish to spend my Christmas in Dubai. But Father, if you don't want it for me, then I don't want it. If your presence will not go with me, then I don't want to go. Lord, I want a wife by Easter. But Lord, if that is not when you want it for me, then I don't want it. That is how you live. When you surrender your decisions, your plans, your desires to God. Of course, when you find out that is what God wants for you, then you pray it to happen. But when you are unsure, you surrender it to Him. You say, Lord, if you don't want me to ever own a car, I don't want it. Lord, if you want me to be walking barefooted till I die, then that's what I want. Lord, if you don't tell me don't marry, then I don't want to marry. Lord, whatever it is you want for me, that is what is perfect. Many people are afraid to ask God for a wife because they are afraid God will give them an ugly wife. Praise the Lord. Then you have not surrendered. Some ladies are afraid to say, God, give me a wife, give me a husband, because they are afraid. If I say, God, give me a husband, He may give me a dwarf. You have not surrendered. When you surrender yourself totally to God, then whatever it is He chooses for you will be the best for you. You will love it, you will desire it. And I tell you, God will not give you something bad. Praise the Lord. And even if what He gave you looks bad, I tell you, it is the best for your life. John 6:38, Jesus said, He said, I have not come to do my own will. I have come to do the will of my Father. Dying to self does not mean that you become a zombie. Some people want to be a zombie. They want God to be controlling them automatically. They want God to take their mouth and be speaking through them. God does not do that. God will not do that. That you are choosing to do the will of God does not mean you don't have a will of your own. Even Jesus had a will of His own. He said, I have a will, but I won't do it. I am surrendering myself to the will of God. So it's not wrong that you have a desire, but what do? You must surrender yourself to a desire of God. Lord, I want to move to Lagos. I want to go and get a job in Lagos, but God, if you want me to go to the village, that's where I want to be. That's a matter of surrender. Wherever you ask me to go, I will go. Shepherd of my soul, whatever you want from me, that's what I want. That's the best thing for me. The surrender. Number 5, because of time. How to die to self. You must choose to make a decision to choose a life of suffering or discomfort for the sake of Christ. This is one thing nobody wants to hear anymore. A decision to choose a life of discomfort and suffering for the sake of Christ. You must have that resilience in you. You must have that determination. That determination, that decision in you, that surrender in you, that Jesus, if discomfort is my pathway to reaching you, then I want it. Jesus, if I have to suffer, then that is what I want. You must have that surrender to the will of God. Whether it, you see what Paul said, whether it is by sword or by suffering, that is what I want for the love of Christ. Lord, if you want me to remain in this position for the next 10 years, that's what I want. This is hard. This is very hard. And time will fail me to explain this properly. I'm trying to choose my words so that you don't misunderstand me. God does not want us to suffer. God does not want us to weep. But you see, a child of God must be willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. The reason why your boss threatened you to falsify a record or lose your job. And it was easy for you to falsify and say, I don't want to lose my job. It's because you are not willing to suffer for the sake of Christ. What is losing a job? Kai, when people are losing their heads for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ. A man who is dead to self will choose suffering and discomfort for the sake of Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12. Verse 25, sorry. Hebrews 11, 25. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You must have that determination in you. You must have that decision in you. You must have that confession in you that I will rather suffer for Jesus than enjoy the pleasure of the world. Number six, time has gone. A total commitment to the good of others according to the will of God. Mark 10, 45, the Bible says, the Son of Man has come to serve and not to be served. So as a child of God that is dead to self, you must have a commitment. The Bible says, Jesus said, the second commandment is like unto it. What is it? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. John in his letter repeatedly said, the proof that you love God will show in your love for your neighbor. You must be committed to the good of others. Don't wake up every day praying that somebody will bless you. Wake up every day, pray and say, Lord, make me a blessing to somebody today. I prayed that every day, years ago. Every day. I said, Lord, send to me the people you want me to bless. Don't send to me swindlers and thieves and people who want to use me. Send to me the people you want me to bless. So when people come to me to ask for help, I don't turn them down because I believe God sent them. Praise the Lord. That continued for a very long time. Till today, I still do that. Except, of course, now, you know, when you're in the spotlight, you get more requests. So you need a level of discernment. Praise the Lord. So you must be committed to the good of others. You must be willing to suffer for the pleasure of others. Don't follow motivational speakers and say it is you first. You have to love yourself first. You have to take care of yourself first before others. No, it's not correct. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. If Jesus thought about himself first, he will not die for us. We said that earlier. So on a daily basis, you must be willing to love. Be willing to forbear. Be willing to forgive. Be willing to let go. Believing to be a blessing. Be that hand that is helping somebody. Be that answer to somebody's prayer. Be that help that somebody needs. Be that advocate. When people are, when they are gossiping about somebody, be their advocate. Don't be a judge. Don't be a critic. Love. Number seven. A total renouncing of the opinion of men, but commitment to the opinion of God. Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul said, if I seek to please men, then I am no longer the servant of God. You must renounce. See, many of these things, you have to be verbal about it. And you see why you have to be verbal about it. When we get to number eight. You must be verbal. In your prayer, you must be verbal. You must renounce your commitment to the opinion of men. Say, I renounce the power the opinion of men have on me. I tell you, many of the riches people seek today is because of it is because of the opinion of men. I tell people, the richest people 100 years ago, they don't have the richest people in Nigeria. They don't have a fenced compound. They don't have a car. you know. But today, it has become competition because of the opinion of men. How do you want people to see you? I've structured and determined how you live your own life. When will you start living the life God appointed for you? Ephesians 6, verse 6, the Bible says, we should not be people of high service and men pleasers, but we should be doing the will of God from the heart. The opinion that should matter to you is the opinion of God. It does not matter what people are saying about me. God, it is your opinion that counts. It doesn't matter what people are saying about me. Lord, it is what you say that counts. I free myself from the bondage of the opinion of men. It is a bondage, I tell you. Many people who live like that, they die unhappy. Consistently trying to measure up to the yardstick and the molds the world has set for you. The world has a culture. They have told you how you are meant to be. That if you are 30 years and you are not married, then you are late. That if you are 40 and you don't have a car, then you are poor. That if you are 50, you don't own a house, then you are a pauper. That if you marry and you don't have a child, then you are barren. All these things are worldly mindsets, people. The opinion of men. What is God saying about you? That's what matters. Who is rich? That's what matters. Who has children? That's what matters. The Bible says, many shall be the children of the barren than the children of him that has child. That is God's standard. Years ago, I wrote a book on the wisdom of God against the wisdom of men. And I wrote out 36 things, 36 ways through which God thinks that is completely opposed to the way men think. You must get your bearing correctly. You must allow the word of God to transform the way you think, the way you see, the way you perceive, the way you judge, the way you reflect, the way you conclude, the things you get, the things you do. Who made the rule that you must buy new clothes in Christmas? It's the world that sold these ideas to us. You know? These are all, you must, when you begin to study God's word, you begin, what begins, the Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is quick and powerful. It says, piercing through the dividing of bones and marrow and between soul and spirit. When you begin to read God's word becomes a sword that begins to divide between the way thinking in man's way and thinking in God's way. You begin to see the difference. Paul said, Galatians chapter 5. He says you need to match. No, that's Ephesians chapter 4, thereabout. He said, we come to a place where you have matured. We are able to discern between good and evil. You begin to see that many of the things we celebrate, the abomination. Jesus said, what is highly esteemed among men is abomination before God. So if you are going about seeking to please men, the Bible says you become an enemy of God. Praise the Lord. Number 8 and the last, you must have a daily commitment to die again and again. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of the Lord, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. For this is your reasonable service. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You must remain on that altar daily. You are a living sacrifice. You are a living sacrifice. You must bear in your body the dying of the Lord daily. I said in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 10. On a daily basis, you must reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Romans chapter 6 verse 11, the Bible says, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Anytime Mr. Flesh comes to ask for your old self, tell them the old man is dead, the new man is here.
When somebody insults you and they want you to speak back and talk back, tell them the old man is dead. The new man is here. Reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. When that desire comes in your heart to do that which is not pleasing to God, tell yourself, the old man is dead. The new man is here. It's a battle you will continue to fight as long as you live. Or better said, it's a victory you continue to confess as long as you live. Reckon daily, study daily, be renewed daily, learn daily, be transformed daily. Die daily, again and again, to self. Reckon yourself, Romans 6, 11. What does reckon mean? It says, admit, confess, believe that you are dead indeed to sin. Dead indeed to the flesh. Praise the Lord. So on a daily basis, it must continue. It is not something that happens in one day. If you are not yet there, don't hate yourself. Begin. Start. The entrance into growth is death. You must deny yourself to begin. And remember what you said last week? You must continue to deny yourself to continue to grow. So as you are studying, you keep on growing. As you are growing, you keep on dying. As you are dying, you keep on growing. As you are growing, you keep on dying to self. And you keep on becoming more and more like Christ. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Wherever you are, wherever you are, let us pray. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Speak to God and thank him for his word that you have received. Say to yourself, say, I am dead to self. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul said, I've been crucified. The life I now live now is not the life of myself. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Say, Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus, I accept what you have done for me on the cross. And from today, I am going to begin to appropriate your debt on my life. If you have been a Christian for long, say, Lord Jesus, I begin to walk that path. I begin to carry my cross. I begin to deny myself. I begin to follow you. If you are just a new child of God and you have received Christ on the basis of what God wants to do for you, say, Jesus, now I know that I have been called to death and I will never become a disciple until I begin to appropriate that which you have done for me on the cross. If you are also among us, you are also listening, and you are probably going through rules and regulations to crucify yourself and defeat sin and overcome sin, say, Lord, I let go and let God. I let go and let God. Nothing is wrong with regulations and all of this. But the Bible says you must not live by them. A child of God lives by faith. Say, Jesus, I walk by faith. Thank you, Father. Glory and honor be to your name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Thank you so much for joining today's teaching. Tomorrow, next week, by God's grace, we will talk about growth and then some other things. Before this series comes to an end, and by God's grace, a new series will begin, according to the will of God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and may he give you peace. Thank you and God bless you and have a great night.
Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. Oh.